In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So these readings are certainly daunting, just a little bit, just a little bit. But I think it's important to keep it in the context that we are now entering into the final steps of the season after Pentecost. We've had a rolling series of parables from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. This is a year that we hear mostly from the Gospel of Matthew in our lectionary cycle. And we are culminating at Christ the King Sunday coming up, where there beckons the cross, Christ the King, echoes. We're leading up then in the story to Gethsemane and entering the Passion at the end of the Matthean narrative. So it's against the cross, I think, that these parables lay the kingdom of God's grace in the resurrection, which we've been given from the beginning. And when I say the beginning of creation, Jesus' activity in God's grace through the Old Testament and New, and here we are in the age of the Holy Spirit now, but yet our missional life is put up against the cross, and in the parable as such. Jesus says, "For it as if a man going on a journey." And in our journey of faith, it's a bit nitty-gritty. There's a lot of different aspects of God's grace that arise in stories like these. But we have to keep in mind, in this story, the talents are really more like God giving us callings or vocations, an opportunity to stand up. In 1 Thessalonians, we hear about the helmet of salvation, faith and hope, the breastplate. As if going to battle. There's a lot of battle imagery today. The idea of being brave disciples in Christ as we head perhaps even in our own journey to the cross. So that's how it's stacked up. The kingdom of God will be like this. Last week we heard of the bridesmaids, those waiting with their lamps. This week we're here. It's against this relief that we can think about discipleship and think about, have we been people of faith? Are we responding in fear? We know by the graciousness of God and the resurrection working and being active throughout all time that God will reap and sow in many places of God's choosing, of which we may know and not know. And we can depend on that grace to launch as a people of faith, to take that leap of faith, which is unknown and daring and risky, perhaps putting on the helmet of salvation, to head out in hope. We also know that by the graciousness of God, the one who is the slave that hides the talents, in the end, all this parable is put in relief against God's mercy. And there's that overtone of judgment. Our ideas of judgment and God's ideas of judgment and the power of God. One thing we know about the power of God is that God acts in mercy and in kindness and in blessing. After all, it's the Matthean narrative that sets us up with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those. Blessed. This ongoing blessing. And here we are in the parables here, getting towards the end of this season. And thinking about the opportunities as disciples that we have to share in God's love, and as Paul addressing the community here in 1 Thessalonians, to encourage one another in these acts of faith. Because in Christian community, in the wholeness of God's breath, we in creation and we as a community of faith together are to be a part of this love and are set aside, not to be totally pure, to be pretty human, to be facilitated in our lives, to be facilitated by grace for God's sake. So discipleship today, what does that mean? What does it mean to be getting and receiving these gifts, vocations, and callings from God? What will we do about them? What will we do when we have God's blessing and mercy? Bishop Michael Curry, our presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, has focused his episcopacy as presiding bishop on racial reconciliation, also on evangelism, and on the stewardship of creation. three vital issues that our church engages with today. In evangelism, not just about proselytizing or getting new members, but being the type of disciples that Matthew's gospel beckons us to today. The type of disciples that can go out and be daring, not perfect, but set aside in our love, working out of the love and grace of God in our love for one another to be that community of faith and to be that voice for things like racial reconciliation. I didn't realize that when I gave this sermon this morning that there had been some flyers around Stanton earlier this week from the KKK put on people's cars, not just advocating, I think, around Black Lives Matter movement. And in the conversation, the second service immediately gravitated towards those issues. And I think that today we're asked to rethink the isms that we constantly struggle with. I myself know in my own family, having been a part of a diverse family in a sense, that I have people of different political persuasions, and I remember as a young boy in the 80s, my mother fighting with her in-laws about racial slurs at the dinner table. And as a rector myself, in many churches I've heard, in different circumstances, many people have said to me, isn't racism over? We handled that back in the 60s. Dealing with those World War II era racial slurs at the dinner table, having been through different situations myself, and then seeing now it raise its ugly head in society. No wonder we as an Episcopal church responding in faith, the last General Convention, we budgeted initially, brought to the floor $500,000 for racial reconciliation issues. And in the midst of the Charleston shootings, the Charleston church shootings, we upped it to $2 million without debate. Because we as a people of faith must be about the reconciliation and the truth of that and God's love in order to shine and be like a people of the day, as Paul discusses in 1 Thessalonians. It's scary when our discipleship is put up against the cross, because that's God's full offering in Jesus. And that's God's full offering on the cross in human form. Will our discipleship be like that? And that's missional, because being missional is about being true to prayer and thought, word, and deed. And that is what evangelism is about, because people gather around that truth in God. That's what draws us together to be reconciled to one another in God's grace. That's what it means of being a church in faith and love, stepping forward, leaping out of the grace into the unknown, the scary part. I remember, too, in my first church assignment, I was at Christ Church Alexandria, I was at Christ Church Alexandria, and prior to preaching, I would get the opportunity to see the plaques to George Washington and Robert E. Lee. They were placed in the sanctuary, contemplating these two great men and characters in our nation's history. And as I prepared to preach, thinking about them coming to the communion rail and their nitty-grittiness, and the questions about stained glass windows coming down in the cathedral, changes of names and churches in our own diocese, and what it means to be a people of faith and to launch out of that history to new uncharted waters. The pastoral question being, what would I do for my neighbor if it meant that I could be reconciled? What would I do? Even giving away the memorial that I hold so close and so dear. Can the Episcopal Church be like that? In an era where people don't know the biblical story, much less what a prayer book is. Can we be like that? A missional people with the cross ahead. I believe we can. And I know Bishop Curry believes that too. A lot of grace. A lot of grace in these places. That's why our lives and the lives of the parables are stacked up against the kingdom of God. Amen.